The Lord is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. We're going to get this one year, finally. So this is an old, old tradition that dates back to the 400s. It was a greeting that the early church, they don't know really where it came from. It began in the liturgy in the 400s. But they believe that it was a greeting that the early Christians would greet one another with, still when Christianity was illegal. So they would greet each other with this phrase, "The Lord is risen, alleluia, alleluia." And if the other person was a Christian, they would reply, "He is risen indeed, alleluia, alleluia." So what I'm gathering is none of you are Christian. The Lord is risen, alleluia, alleluia.
He is risen indeed,
alleluia, alleluia. Amen. You got it. Next year, I'll have to repeat the whole thing over again. Happy Easter. I know we've just gone through our Catholic calisthenics, and all of your legs are already hurting, so I'll try to keep this nice and short. The first words God gives to us, in all of sacred scripture, the first thing that he says, the first utterance out of his mouth is this: "Let there be light." And I think God choosing that his first word would be "let there be light" has a lot of theological significance. God could have created the planets first. He could have created the animals first. He could have created you and I first. But God decides his priority, the first thing he wishes to make out of the freedom of his heart. There was no reason he had to create anything. He was completely fulfilled in himself. And yet, his longing to share the goodness of himself beyond himself, the first thing he chooses to create is light. Let there be light. I don't know if you've ever stared directly at the sun, and if you haven't, you shouldn't, because if you were to, you would literally go blind. If you were to stare directly at the sun with your eyes completely wide open and allow those piercing lights to just pulsate directly into your retina, you would go blind. The one small sun, which when we look at the whole galaxy and all the universe, the entire cosmos, and compare it to all the other stars that are out there, our sun is a small little sun compared to all of these massive stars. And if I look upon that light, I go blind. And I think God wishes to reveal something about himself in that. That he's so radiant, so grand, spectacular, so bright, that if we were to draw totally close to him, he would strike us, bedazzling, blind. Think of St. Paul on the road to Damascus. Christ's light shines before him, and what literally happened to him? He went blind. And it was later on that he had to have calluses or scales removed from his eyes. I think God, when he creates light as his first priority, wishes to speak ultimately of himself. This beautiful springtime, I think we all love it because the weather is warming up, you got the beautiful flowers budding, but beyond all of that, what I think we really love, what really strikes our heart, is the light. We love that it's sunny again. I spent 3 years out in Minnesota in the deep of winter out there, and it's bitter, bitter cold. It gets down to probably the teens, even below sub-zero for most of winter. But the one thing that Minnesota always has during winter that we don't have is sun. You come to Michigan, and why everyone gets depressed for these last 4 months is they haven't seen sunlight in the last 4 months. light, warm light. It has a way of lifting our mood, kind of expanding the heart, brightening our eyes. I think God wished to reveal something about himself. That when we draw close to God, when we sit beneath his rays, he lifts our heart, he brightens our eyes, he expands our mind. On January 3rd of 1993, I was 4 years old, and I was asleep in the basement next to my sister. And I was down there, and I was rudely awoken by my brother Ambrose, who's about the middle child. I'm the youngest of 11. And he comes down the stairs, I'm in the basement, and I'm awoken to these words: "Mom's dead." And I think in my mind, and I still remember this as a little kid, that is the worst prank to pull on someone. I was thinking in my mind, Ambrose, if you literally are waking me up for this stupid joke, I'm going to be so mad. So I crawled out of bed, and I remember walking up the 2 flights of stairs to get on our main floor. You take a right, and then you head up another 2 flights of stairs to get to the upper floor. So I made my way up these stairs. I took a left to go down the hall to my parents' room. And the door was closed, and I remember pretty vividly all of this. I was a 4-year-old. And I get to that door, and my memory goes blank. I don't recall it. My oldest brother, Zach, he's the second oldest in the family, he told me that I opened the door, and my dad got angry and said, no, don't let him in. And Zach said, no, let him in. And he picked me up, and he held me. And then I saw my mom dead on the floor. Now fast forward a week or so to the funeral. And this is where my memory picks up again. That I'm sitting in the pew and "On Eagle's Wings" begins to play. And I remember somehow in my mind, I finally connected the dots. Mom was dead. She was gone. And I remember in that moment just breaking down into tears, just like wailing. And I remember one of my aunts grabbing me to hold me. That was 33 years ago on January 3rd. I bring this up not to bring a very somber, depressing tone to the Easter celebration. But one thing that light does that I haven't spoke on is bring life. Without light, there is no life. We think about the springtime and the budding flowers, the beautiful flowers that are going to sprout, all these lovely flowers that are here now and the wonderful fragrance. You think of the leaves on the trees and all the greenery, the life that surrounds us. And it's that light that it allows that life to come into being. The sad reality is, and you and I all know this, that in a few months, those beautiful flowers will die. In a few years, these wonderful trees will have died. In a very real sense, you look around at everyone in this room, in a few decades, we'll all be dead. Why is this night so important? Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ the crutch, the hinge upon which all of humanity finally rests? Because it's true that you and I look at the lovely roses, we look at the wonderful trees, we look at each other and we say, you can't die. I think back to my mom and deep within my heart, I think, you couldn't die. Because there's something in us that wants everlasting beauty, everlasting goodness, everlasting life. Why is today so important? More important than dressing up in fine clothes and lighting some candles and all of this greenery. Why is it so important? Because it's finally God's definitive answer to death. It's his definitive answer to the longing of our hearts that we have a love that is stronger than death, that we have a beauty that is stronger than death, that we have a life that's stronger than death. I think it's powerful that both the Easter Vigil and Christmas Midnight Mass always plays upon the imagery of darkness and light. We began this entire celebration in darkness. And you probably realized you couldn't see pretty much anything. And as slowly the lights came on, the colors and the vibrancy of the colors you began to notice. Each other's faces you began to take in. You got to soak in the beauty and the vivaciousness, the vitality of what was around you. The church, in her imagery, tries to proclaim and sing that what we do in symbols, God does in truth and reality. That he gives you his light. That's why you all came in with a little candle. It wasn't just like, oh wow, this is pretty. No, that was the light. The light that you received in your baptism. And catechumens, the light that you're going to receive in a few moments is the burning light that the Lord wishes to instill upon your soul to burn brightly. When I was a kid, one of my siblings told me this. When I was a kid, one of the songs I loved to sing was This Little Light of Mine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know. And I grew to not like that song. I was like, oh, this is such a cheesy song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But now that I've grown older, I think that is such a beautiful song. Maybe the tune of it can be super annoying, but the song, the lyrics, they're so potent and true. The Lord has given me light. Light. He has given you light to burn brightly in a world that is so dark. Do you? Do I? Have I allowed that light to grow dim? That baptismal candle that we all received, I give it to you and you will hear the catechumens as they receive it. I say, receive the light of Christ and may it burn brightly until he comes again. I pray that as we enter into this night, where we all focus on Christ who is our light, we recognize true the gift of the light that has been given to me, instilled within me. And may I be given the courage, the joy, the freedom to let go and to let that light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all the time, all the time, all the time.